Good to see Annalise here from VBS. Good to see you. Turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis. I'm always mindful in my Bible. I've got at the top here, I've got God. And then I have 32 times. Oftentimes we think that Genesis is about creation. It's really about God, the magnificence of God. And we're going to look a little bit at that today. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 as we continue our study in this amazing book. And I'll start off this morning by asking the question, one moment here. Let's see if we can get this going. How about that? Okay. What did you do last week? Simple question. What did you accomplish last week? Did you go to church, maybe? Maybe you went to the dump like I did, took out the trash. Maybe you homeschooled your children, went to the gym, might have built something, might have read a book, might have had vacation Bible school. Maybe you taught a class. Maybe you surfed the web. Maybe you worked at the office all week. What did you do last week? Better still, what did you accomplish by Wednesday? Think about that for a moment. By Wednesday of this past week, if he had started on Sunday, and he did, God Almighty created the heavens and the earth from nothing. Water from nothing. He spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That was day one. On day two of the week, God created an expanse to separate the vast waters above from the waters below. In essence, created our atmosphere. That was what he did on Monday. And I do believe in a literal week for the Lord. On Tuesday, if God started on a Sunday, he gathered all of the waters of the world into pools. He brought them into seas. He brought them into oceans. And at the same time, coming up, he caused the dry land to appear on the earth. And that was only the first part of that day. That was before noon, if you will. Second half of Tuesday, God made vegetation on the earth where there was none. Trees where there were none. Seeds, plants, herbs. He made the earth sprout vegetation. Gorgeous greenery now fills the earth, blooming in beauty. And on Wednesday, if God started on a Sunday, he created the sun, the moon, the stars. The Bible tells us that he placed them in the sky. Why? To give us light. For us to distinguish between times, days and weeks and seasons and years. And as I've said many times, God can do a lot in a day. Can he not? And even more in 4 days. And as we come to the fifth day of creation this morning, we're about to see a bursting forth of living creatures upon the earth. In an instant, and at the command of God, living animals now begin to populate the planet, high and low. This morning, we will see three characteristics defining God's creation on the fifth day. It is abundant. It is great in majesty and in power. And it is blessed abundance, greatness, blessing. And to this day, these things still characterize life on the earth, despite man's dominance. Wherever you look, as you walk even out these doors, you are going to see the hand of God above, in the sky, and below, in the oceans, the seas, the lakes, and the rivers of this world. And virtually all of us, believers and unbelievers, marvel at these things. That's why both believers and unbelievers have birdhouses in the yards. That's why they attend or go to, at times, bird sanctuaries. That's why virtually every single person in this room has at one time or another had, seen, or been to an aquarium. Why? It is what some might call general revelation. God is showing, God is proving, God is revealing himself to the world in his creation. And mankind, whether they want to admit it or not, stare and wonder at what God has done. And in this, what do we learn? We learn that he is worthy of our praise, that he is worthy of our honor, that he is worthy of our worship and adoration. He is worthy, as we have sung this morning. Follow along with me in your Bibles, please, as we read our text. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. Let's pray. Father, unworthy am I to speak forth your word, but I know that you are worthy, and that I know the word of God, when preached in truth, when preached so as to exalt your name, is good and right. And so I pray now that by your Spirit that you would speak forth from your word, and that we, as those who proclaim to love you and to love your Son Jesus Christ, hear it, may we be drawn to you in such a way that we would leave here today different than when the way we came. We trust in you in this, and we trust in your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Verse 20 says, "Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." And the idea behind this verse, really, like I said, is the absolute explosion of the sea and sky with a myriad of living beings. And I took the liberty, I don't always do this with the Hebrew, but I took the liberty because I was trying to drink in this particular text. In translating the Hebrew for myself, I am not a Hebrew scholar, but I wanted to pull out the words, and I wanted to get a sense of what the text was telling me just in this verse alone. And I wrote down my own personal translation, and it says this: "And God said, let the waters swarm with a swarm of living beings, living creatures, and let everything that flies flutter upon the earth, upon the surface of the expanse of the heavens." And that word birds here can actually be describing any winged animal. That's important to keep in mind as we come to other texts in Scripture. It's not only birds, but things that fly. And as I read through this and as I prayed through even this one single verse, the imagery within this single verse is extremely vivid. Vibrant life now comes to life in the text. And as I said, it begins to fill the oceans, it begins to fill the sky. And in your own mind, if you stop and you think about it, this is why we should never rush through Scripture. You can almost see it happening. The excitement of it all. In an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, the oceans are teeming with all types of living creatures. Think of your favorite living creature. Seals gliding through the ocean, starfish with their colors, their points walking around on the floor of the ocean. You have octopus with their weird-looking heads and their tentacles come to life in the ocean. Jellyfish go bobbing by. Seahorses. Have you ever seen how beautiful a seahorse can be? Have you ever looked at them? Lobsters and oysters crawling around on the bottom of the sea. Crabs are there. And when I think of oysters, you know the locomotion of the oyster is they'll puff out water, so they scoot around the bottom of the ocean. Sea turtles. Who doesn't love sea turtles? Whales and dolphins, like just picture dolphins just now skirting and coming out of the water, all moving in pools and in unison. You know, I had a saltwater tank in my office, and that's one of the reasons I just love saltwater animals. Just the colors of the tank, the colors of the animals, and I'll never forget, it's the type of fish it is, really. It's called a bird wrasse, and they're beautiful. And this one particular bird wrasse was green, dark green in color, and he had a whole bunch of orange on him. And not only was he colorful, but he had a personality. He actually used to flutter along the bottom of the tank, flutter along the bottom of the aquarium, to the extent that he would even flutter up some of the pebbles on the bottom. And it was almost like he was dancing in the tank. God made that. God created that on the fifth day. Imagine that moment when the oceans now begin to brim with new life. And at the same time that that's happening, the skies themselves begin to burst, if you will. Flocks of birds now begin to streaming and zooming through the air. Eagles. You think about an eagle with their beaks and their look in their eye. You think about the owl with its big eyes and its funny shaped head and how it can turn around. Beautiful animals. I think of bats. And yes, bats are included here. I say that for a reason, because later on people give the writer of a particular section of Scripture a hard time because it's talking about bats, but it calls them birds. Bats are made. Strange, bewildering. Storks with their big gullet, if you will. Flamingos, tall and spindly legs. Brilliantly hued parrots. Toucans. A whole plethora of life now begins to populate this earth. And it's life made in such a way that the plants are not made. They are more complex. They have blood flowing through their veins. They have a heart now that is beating. They breathe in the air. They have eyes to see. They have a brain now with which to think. And they move about and they communicate with one another. And they communicate, if you know this about the animal world, animals can communicate in such amazing ways. Echolocation. They can find things by sending out audio sounds. If you've ever heard a dolphin or some of the whales under the sea, they'll hear taps and clicks as they communicate with one another. The chirps and the songs of birds of all different kinds. And in this life, there is a twinkle in their eye, recognition in their eye at the life that is around them. It is different than the plants. All at the hands of an almighty life-giving God. It's beautiful to think about. And not only are they abundant in number, look at with me at verse 21. Verse 21 tells us something else about these creatures that God has created. It says that God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Note the wording here. What are the first two words of verse 21? You can yell it out. God created. When was the last time you saw this in the Genesis account? Got to go all the way back to the very first verse. In the beginning, God created. This is something only God can do. This word used in this way is only used of God in creation. It's the first time we've seen these verses or this word since verse 1. God created them. And that is the emphasis. The greatest living creatures were created by God. And we find, even in today's life, we find the greatest among them in the ocean. In our time, even today, even if we look at the fossil records, it seems that God has deemed the ocean to hold the largest of all animals. Anyone know who the largest? What is the largest animal on the face of the planet? Anyone know? Blue whale. He's huge. Huge. How big is he? Here's his tail. Now, this is just the length. Imagine the width. Big, big. All this way. Imagine him being in here, right in this moment, all the way down here. All the way down to here. Yes, I measured it out, folks. All the way to here. That's how big that animal is. And that's the length of it. That's not just the thickness. They're huge. 100 feet in length they get to be. They're a magnificent animal. It is said that they can swallow 3 buses in one gulp. It is said that their heart is as big as a small car. Pretty amazing creatures. Not only are they the biggest, but it's said that the blue whale is the loudest. Believe that or not. 188 decibels is the noise that they make. It's this equivalent loudness of a rocket ship. I mean, God's creation is amazing. Amazing. What exactly is a great sea monster? I don't know. All right, I researched it. I don't know. The word monster here can mean sea monster or sea dragon. No matter how you slice it, these creatures are huge, and there's an element of scariness to them. They're the mightiest creatures on earth. I want to read to you a section of scripture. Our scripture reading was intentional this morning. We're talking about Leviathan. This is not the sea monster spoken of here, because this sea monster, of course, is a general term. God is speaking to Job of a specific animal here, Leviathan. Listen to how God describes him. Out of his mouth go burning torches. Sparks of fire leap forth. Out of his nostrils smoke goes forth, as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. And the idea, if you read through this, it kind of looks like a dragon, the kind of dragon that we hear in mythology. Verse 22, in his neck lodges strength, and dismay leaps before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together, firm on him and immovable. And this is God describing them. God knows all of this. Why? Because God made him. His heart is as hard as a stone, even as hard as a lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty fear, because of the crashing, they are bewildered. The sword that reaches him cannot avail, nor the spear, the dart, or the javelin. In other words, you cannot kill this beast. He regards iron as straw, bronze as rotted wood. And of course, you know the idea behind that. Straw just breaks. Iron, he breaks. Bronze is just rotted wood. He can just break it away. Clubs are regarded as stubble. He laughs at the rattling of the javelin. His underparts are like sharp potsherds, and he spreads out like a threshing sledge on the mire. He makes the depths boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a jar of ointment, and behind him he makes a wake to shine. One would think the deep to be gray-haired. Nothing on earth is like him, one made without fear. Remember our context. The God of Israel created him. God created him. These animals that God has created are abundant. There's a swarm of them. But they're mighty, and they're majestic, and they're glorious. They're wonders to behold. And as we see them, there is a sense of fear and awe and reverence in them. Is there not? Have you ever gone on a whale watch? Anyone? You're like, whoa. And there's a certain amount of fear there. Whoa, this thing's powerful. I once saw a video where a whale was coming up and there was somebody swimming in. The whale just missed the person. He had his mouth open. The guy almost got swallowed right up. As we look at these things, we need to remember that fear that we have for the animals, that awe, that reverence ought to carry over into the one who created them. And I think too, here too in our scripture is a hint of the worship the creator, not the creature. Don't worship the sun. We talked about that. Don't worship the moon. Don't worship the stars. But don't worship the animals below either. No matter how great they might be, worship the God who created them, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of Israel. And really, here is the point. As we look at the multitude, as you and I look at the beauty and the greatness of animals that God has created to float through the sky and to swim in the ocean, shouldn't we have the same sense of wonder at the God who created them? Shouldn't we give glory to whom glory is due? Honor and praise to whom honor and praise is due? When you marvel at the flight of a bird going through the sky, marvel too at the God who created him. When you listen mesmerized by the beautiful songs of the birds. Years ago, I'll never forget this. I woke up in the morning, I was at Martha's Vineyard, and I woke up in the morning and I was hearing the song of a bird that I'd never heard before and I've never heard since. And it was absolutely beautiful. When you hear these things, worship the God who made them. Marvel at him. When you look at the hummingbird, and I always bring up the hummingbird because I think they're fascinating, beautiful in color, beautiful in flight. When you think about the elegance of a manta ray. Do you ever see a manta ray swimming in the ocean? Just their elegance, how they ripple through it. Marvel at the God who made them. Let your heart be drawn to God. It was not Mother Nature who created them. You know, I was watching a YouTube video on a woman that they call the hummingbird speaker, and she was just saying how beautiful they are, and she said, Mother Nature just, and I'm like, it's not Mother Nature. It's God. It was not evolution. The God of the heavens made them. And it's far more amazing than they are. We are surrounded by this life, folks, and oftentimes we let it pass us by. Take time this week to stop and reflect on the creation of the Lord, to look at it, to ponder it. You won't get any of that from electronics. You won't get that from a video game. Why do you think we go on vacations to beautiful places? Where there's mountains, where there's sun, where there's rivers, where there's animals. Why? Because created life resonates with us because it echoes our Creator. It touches us in a way that nothing else can. Turning off your computer and spending time with God and nature, that's what we ought to do. The other day, it's actually just 2 days ago, Don and I were out Saturday. No, it was yesterday. Come outside and we're just talking. And we're walking along the driveway and all of a sudden I stop. I think, oh, look. These two little chicks, maybe this big, had popped out of their nest. We knew the nest was there, but there they were right in front of us. And we were mesmerized by them. Don didn't even want to come in the house. She's like, we need to get them food. All right, let's go get some strawberries. I mean, that's the Lord. Of course, they were tiny, and then when we went up to them to try to give them some food, they flittered half-heartedly away, maybe got 5 or 10 feet, stopped, took a break, and then I think they just went off. Don said, yeah, they ended up out in the woods. Just amazing. Just amazing. Turn off our computers, spend some time with the Lord in nature. It's time well spent. Pray. Pray as you see these things. Listen as you're out there. On the fifth day of creation, God made the earth swarm with life unimaginable, the sky and the sea teeming, abundant and beautiful. Delicate life, yes, but great and big, majestic creatures as well, big as houses in some cases. They're different than plants, more complex, living in a way new to creation here. They have been infused with life from the Creator. Let's see if I've got, yeah. Verse 21, God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was what? It's good. It's beautiful. It's amazing. And I still believe, and I'm going to point out some of this in a minute, it's more amazing than you and I know. Scientists are still discovering just how good God's creation is. Creation reflects the God who created it, and it should turn our hearts heavenward. And I would just like to say that the division of God or the divisions of God in nature are not like the divisions of men in nature. God here creates creatures after, quote unquote, after their kind. Man has made classifications. Man has classified animals into their own brackets, phyla, genus, species, but God's classifications supersede them all. For instance, in Hawaii in 1985, the impossible happened. According to how man has classified animals, a male false killer whale and a female bottlenose dolphin mated to produce what they call a wolfin, half whale, half dolphin. They even named the animal. These animals are classified not only as different species, but different genera. God's kinds may differ from how man has classified them. God created animals to fly in the sky, and there are different kinds of them. And God also created animals to swim in the ocean, and there are different kinds of them. How amazing is God? How diverse is God? And like I said, he's even greater than we realize. To the extent that scientists all over the world are completely stunned by some of the discoveries that they're making. Not the least of which is DNA. They're blown away by DNA. They can't explain DNA. DNA is so difficult for them to process because it stumps them at every single turn. They're stunned at it. In fact, the more research is done on the DNA of animals, the more scientists are now turning to the realization that there has to be some kind of creator. Why? Because of the complexity of DNA, because of the workings of DNA. They themselves, you know what they call DNA? These are scientists, these are unbelievers. They call DNA the instruction manual of life. Yet they don't look at the one who wrote that instruction, who wrote that book. They call DNA the recipe book of life, but they never ever look to see who the cook was who wrote the recipe. They say it has, quote unquote, amazing information programmed into it. Its chemistry is amazing. The way it copies itself is amazing. Beyond anything that they could fathom. Let me just read this to you. The copying is far more precise than random or laboratory chemistry could manage, because there is editing in DNA. There is editing machinery built into DNA. That is, DNA proofreads and error checks itself. Amazing. The machinery keeps the error rate down to less than one error per 10 to the 7th power. Marvel at God. I wish the scientists would. Not only that, the amount of information stored in DNA, the amount of information that is stored in DNA is astronomical. Listen to this. This data is transmitted from one generation to the next so that living things reproduce after their kind, leading atheist Richard Dawkins himself, to admit there is enough information capacity in a single human cell to store the entire Encyclopedia Britannica, all 30 volumes of it, 3 or 4 times in a cell. I want to read this to you. This is from the Genesis account, Jonathan Sarfati. Nowadays, we would say that each of our cells, and there are about 100 trillion in the human body, we're talking about cells, contains about 3 gigabytes of information. I mean, that should blow you away right there. Even the simplest living creature, the tiny germ called mycoplasma, has about 600 kilobytes, and even this seems incredibly highly compressed. Some bioengineers led by Stanford University's Marcus Covert succeeded in modeling this quote-unquote simple germ with computers. One report on trying to model the processes involved in one cell division for this cell stated, "What's fascinating is how much horsepower they needed to partially simulate this simple organism. It took a cluster of 128 computers running for 9 to 10 hours to actually generate the data on the 25 categories of molecules that are involved in the cell's life cycle process." That's amazing. God is not only amazing outward, folks, he is amazing inward. What he makes is good, not only outward, but it's good inward. One astrophysicist and evolutionist, Paul Davies, says this, it should be up behind me. "We now know that the secret of life lies," this is an unbeliever, "lies not with the chemical ingredients as such, but with the logical structure and organizational arrangement of the molecules. Like a supercomputer, life is an information processing system. It is the software of the living cell that is the real mystery, not the hardware. How did stupid atoms spontaneously write their own software?" And he answers, "Nobody knows. We don't know. There is no known law of physics able to create information from nothing." I know. You know. It was God who did it. God who made it. God who infused it in there, because God is good both outward and inward. He is a potter molding and shaping the clay. He is an engineer. He is an architect and a gardener too. But he's also the master programmer and chemist of life. What God made is good. Man is still discovering just what that means. With all our technology, with all our advancement, man is still left baffled by the God that created it. Oh, that they would give him glory. And after creating them, after making them abundant and majestic, what does he do in verse 22? He blesses them. Blessings in Genesis is often, in the book of Genesis, is ascribed to the fruitfulness, allowing them to multiply. That's just in the first, I think, two or three instances that we see it. Verse 22, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. Here we see the first recorded blessing of the Bible, and it is to the birds of the air and to the fish of the sea. And in this blessing, God now ensures their continued existence on earth. They are now going to multiply. And God has given the grace for them to do that. It's required. Why? Because he's the giver of life. And this also tells us that the animal kingdom is valued by God. For the first time in the creation account, God here speaks to someone. And that's the animal kingdom that he has just begun. His command is a simple one. Very simple. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and the seas and let the birds multiply in the earth. And so it is to this day. What did you do last week? On the fifth day of creation, God made the birds fly in the sky and all the fish that swim in the ocean. They're abundant in number, majestic in power, and they are blessed in procreation. And God Almighty did it all. Take time this week, brothers and sisters in Christ, and spend time with the Lord in nature. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our awe and our reverence. And remember these things as you interact with the things around you. Verse 23, there was evening, there was morning, a fifth day. God's done with this day. Next week we'll do the sixth. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for just how great you are. We sang that song this morning, and even, Lord, thank you for putting that on Joel's heart to sing. I surveyed the stars. Even that song speaks about you and creation. Lord, help us to look around ourselves and to see the things which you have created, and help that to draw our hearts and minds up to you. Be with us now, Lord. Take us home safely. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.